evening and welcome to another episode of What Should I Watch? We're up to episode 8 and we're up to quite a few shenanigans this week. We're going from feudal Japan to the Suicide Squad to an island filled with F-boys. So for those of you that don't know what an F-boy is, Steve.
Very good.
Also joining us tonight, someone who probably love to get hold of some of those on F-Boy Island for various reasons. Mike, how are you?
Fantastic.
Were you just thinking about yourself, the best thing about an island is it's so easy to hide the bodies. But before we launch into all of that, did any of you watch anything else you want to tell our eager listeners about?
I did. Yeah, I went back and watched Ghost in the Shell. Scarlett Johansson one, for those who have seen both. Yeah, yeah. I think we reviewed this.
Mm.
And I didn't remember the movie at all. I remember the intro scene and so on.
Did this come out around the same time as the alien naked Scarlet?
Yeah.
When she was driving around Scotland in a van, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, one of Mark's all-time favourites.
Yeah, yeah. Such a great movie.
Oh, yeah, it was a classic.
I might actually watch it again this weekend.
We should probably put it on the list.
I should probably throw it on tonight. Yeah. Talk about it next week. Yeah.
I have no problem with you talking about it as long as I don't have to watch it.
So I went back and watched this, and if you haven't seen it, it's about a lady whose body has died. So they transplant her brain into a synthetic body and use her as a weapon-y synthetic assassin type person. She has no memory of her past life, which is kind of half the plot. Who is she? Where did she come from? And the other part of it is the corporation that created her. Let's say, what's the deal with them, and what are they hiding? Mm-hmm. And what's their interaction with the government, and blah 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 blah. So that's kind of the basis for it. Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a training movie for Black Widow, wasn't it? Like, she has the cat suit and the whole shooting match skills.
Yeah, it's a white cat suit. Or whitish, yeah, it's quite a pale one. Yeah, but she does a lot of jumping off buildings and that kind of thing, literally disappearing. And it's quite cool because there's it's kind of Blade Runner-y in that kind of technology, futuristic, kind of downtrodden look. There's a lot of it's quite Asian centric, nearly. It's almost like it was supposed to be based in Hong Kong, but it's actually Japanese people that are predominantly in it. And did I enjoy it?
We're just waiting for they all look the same to me.
What do you call it? It's got, you know, like those, you know, the huge billboards, and all this were shown is that it's going to be these massive, like skyscraper size holograms of people selling pizza or whatever it is they're selling, you know. So there's loads of those around the city. So the cityscapes are amazing. Mm. It looks amazing. The action is great. Storyline's good. It's not a brain buster. It's predictable. Kind of, you know what's going to happen. You can figure it out pretty quickly. But it's very enjoyable.
My memory, was Samuel L. in this?
Samuel L. was he in this? No, he wasn't. No.
Okay. No. So I'm mixing him up with something else.
But it's got a good pace in it. There's no real lull moments. It's kind of, there's a bit of heartstring pulling all right in it at a couple of stages. But for the most part, it's very enjoyable. I thought it was quite well made. Yeah, it's a great, you know what, it's a great matinee, actually. In the same way that, yeah. Like a rainy winter's Sunday, you know. Mm. Yeah, that or Blade Runner, you know.
So just to warn everyone, the film that you were talking about that came out around the same time as Ghost in the Shell, featuring Scarlett Johansson taking her clothes off and driving around Scotland in a taxi or in a van, was called Under Her Skin and came out in 2013.
Is it that long ago?
Wow, is it? Holy moly.
I've hated that film for nearly 20 years.
It's kind of the bar by which you judge movies that you hate, isn't it?
It really is.
That's funny.
I don't know if any of you have been keeping up with Love Island recently.
I'm a little bit behind.
Yeah, I'm a bit behind as well. Several years behind, I think.
Well, yeah. Are you aware of the phenomenon that happens during that show called Casa Amor?
No.
Right, so what they do there is, so the basic premise for Love Island is you get a bunch of single girls, a bunch of single guys. The goal for them is they have to pair up. And if they're not paired up, they risk being dumped from the island. That's the long and the short of it, right? So this is brilliant, of course, because it immediately encourages people to pretend they have feelings about someone, anyone, just to get them through to the next couple of days on the show. And what that means is when someone they actually like comes along, they're happy to drop people like hot snots. So what they do then is when everything's kind of settling down and the drama has waned, they separate the boys and the girls. They send the fellas off to Casa Amor where they meet a whole bunch of new girls and leave the girls behind with a new bunch of fellas, right? Which is, by definition, a whole load of cats amongst many, many pigeons. So I wound up watching this the big finale of Casa Amor bit is the boys who went away to Casa Amor come back and then can decide to come back by themselves, meaning they remained true to their sweethearts in the Love Island, or they come back with a new girl, meaning they have their head turned.
Hiss.
Exactly, yeah, exactly, right? So I was watching this, right, in a sitting room filled with girls. Right?
Oh,
it was brilliant. Wow. It was brilliant. So then this one of the guys came back and he'd been in what was perceived to be a strong relationship before he went.
Yeah.
And he came back with somebody else.
Scandal. Gasp.
So I just let everyone take it in, see what was going on. And then, of course, everyone started giving out on the show now. They all started giving out about him. Like, so I bided my time. And I went, I don't know what their problem is with poor old Liam. And like about four of the girls touched exactly the same instant. It was brilliant. By the way, it's really good. Like, it's a great way to turn watching Love Island into a kind of a vicious spectator sport.
I was going to say. Potential for full contact.
Yeah. That's still going strong anyway. It was fraught with controversy this week. There was, what was the girl's name? Was you know the giving out? Faye, is it?
Know who she is. Would you believe it?
So they did. They went one better. And so the boys came back from Casa Amor. A lot of them got back into the same relationships, or tried anyway. And everything that happened on Casa Amor was explained away with, you know, baby, them's just jokes, you know. Mm-hmm. And let's just carry on. Don't worry about it. Like, so then they had a movie night at the Love Island villa. And the movie night was the producers trying to show the boys the worst things the girls did while they were away. And the girls the worst thing the boys did while they were away. And then the best of it was this one girl saw a video about her fella that wasn't bad at all by my record. Right. This wasn't even me trying to stir up an argument. This was just me like watching it rationally. I was going, he did nothing wrong. He did literally nothing wrong. Right. And Faye, I think it's Faye. It could be any one of the girls, to be honest. I don't pay an awful lot of attention. But she just started completely tearing him a new one. Read him the riot act several times, and then a couple of times he would give her a chance to calm down, and then he'd come over again and say, look, can I pull you for a chat? Let's go over to the fire pit, because all the best chats happen at the fire pit. And bring her over and try and talk her around, and she just immediately defenses her way up. Like, it was brilliant. But I hear, like, on the tomorrow night, I'm a huge fan of Ian Sterling, by the way, the guy that does the voiceover on that.
Oh, okay.
He told us last night that on tomorrow night's episode, your one kind of starts to realize she's being a dope.
Okay.
And it starts to come around. So, man, I cannot wait to see that climb down. It's going to be epic.
Make sure the room's full of girls. See, I told you. I told you. Why didn't you just say this a week ago, you know?
Mike, was there any non-list TV that you were watching?
There was one item. Slightly less old than Steve's Ghost in the Shell. It's a series called Occupied, which I saw. I saw series one and two a couple of years ago, and never got access to series three. And then I just found it completely by accident on Netflix. I don't know when they picked it up, because I never... It wasn't
Spanish
on Netflix,
Netflix again, was it?
Yeah.
Occupado. Go on, yeah.
Is it German?
Norwegian.
So Occupert.
Occupert, yeah. So the basic idea is the nasty Ruskies take over Norway, and the shithead European Union don't help them, because they've decided to stop pumping oil. And hence the occupation.
This sounds familiar. Yeah.
So, but I was intrigued to see what would happen in the third series, because the second series ended at a real, oh my God, cliffhanger moment. It was like, okay, I can't believe that just happened. And it always in the back of my mind, I wonder how they were going to follow it on.
Yeah.
So, I found season three, and I'm about halfway through it and really enjoying it. Very, very well put together series. They do a good job of making the baddies really black, and the goodies tend to be more gray than white. So there's quite a lot of darkness in the show. One particular scene that always stayed with me, actually, I think from the first series, was the head of Norwegian Fredo Intelligence Garcia. Service. The head of the intelligence service commits suicide, and she takes her cat with her.
Oh, jeez. That's
a great touch. So it's that kind of, these things happen in this kind of show, you know.
So they do a season every 2 years, it seems. It started in 2015, season two, 2017, another one, 2019. So
yeah, so 2019 came and went, I just totally missed the boat on it. And I've also missed the boat on the last 2 years. I don't know what happened in the last 2 years.
But COVID. COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, my sequencing of past events is just all over the place these days, you know. Yeah, everything from the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand is
is a blur.
Yeah.
So if we go from Ruskies occupying Norway to Japanese people killing other Japanese people, and let's talk about Rurouni Kenshin.
Who's going to talk about that then?
Yeah, well, I can kick us off. So this is. Right, where do we start with this? So this was a anime and a TV show where it was called Samurai X, and it is loosely based on an historical figure, right? So in this movie, and I'll confine myself to the context of this movie for now, the protagonist is an assassin. He is essentially a Ronin, a master samurai who's rebelling against the...
Shoguns,
thank you. The shogunate they keep referring to. Mm-hmm. And he starts, I guess he butchers quite a lot of people, strategically butchers people. Mm-hmm. And then he finds himself, you know, entangled in aspects of his personality he didn't expect to explore. Mm-hmm. And the movie goes from there. So who wants to kick us off reviewing?
Yeah.
So he was butcher, a pretty good butcher.
It's so true. It'll never be me. Didn't the cruiser do The Last Samurai, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, so he can't go.
This movie was huge in Japan, right? So they filmed the beginning and the final chapter back to back and released them very close together. And it was the first time in the history of Japan that a franchise had two installments in the top three for a number of weeks.
Wow.
So it took 92 million, which I understand is a lot over there. It's not a lot outside of there. But it was a big deal for them. It was like number two and number three in the box office for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And the character is apparently very well loved, and there's a steeped history. And I suppose to Japanese folk who know some of the history around this, it probably is even easier to enjoy, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
So I knew none of that when I saw it.
All right.
I knew none of that when I saw it on the list. I did research after the fact, because I got the impression that this seemed to mention specific events that learned folk like you guys would be able to pinpoint in history that obviously I had no idea about. Was ironically in quizzes I always pick TV and film and avoid history. So I watched it as this fairly androgynous samurai cut people to bits, and I have to say it was some of the most amazing sword work I've ever
seen.
I'm
glad you brought that up.
So this is one thing that I noticed about it, right? If you shoot someone in a film, there's a squib, a blood packet on them somewhere that a special effects guy explodes at the appropriate time. Mm-hmm. And then the dudes in the sound effects booth put the bullet in appropriately. Mm-hmm. Right? Put the bullet noise in appropriately. Yeah. So the bullet matches the squib and everything's fine. Imagine what you have to do to put exploding squibs on a guy you're hitting with a sword. Right? And not just that. These guys are faster than the Flash. Like, they're blindingly fast. And do you know one thing I really liked? This is a bit of an aside. So that's the biggest thing that I liked about it, is the combat is completely off the charts. Amazing, right? It reminded me of, what's that Thai boxer? I'll come back to that. I'll look that up later and let you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, Takeru Sato, I believe. Mm-hmm. I'll check that also, but I believe that was our main guy.
Sato.
The speed of him and his structures. He was never off balance. He was like, you know what I mean? It wasn't pretend fighting. At least it didn't seem that way to me.
Yeah.
He was constantly, his balance was always in the right place over his feet. You know, if he was a fighter, he would never have been caught out. You know what I mean? If I was looking at it from, like, say, a UFC perspective, which obviously is a completely different thing. Then he was never really off balance, despite doing ridiculous stuff with a sword. Steve, you wanted to get in there.
Yeah, and the reason I'm glad you brought it up is because that really hit me as well, as how absolutely amazing the sword play was. And I went and looked up the behind-the-scenes training for this movie. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it's amazing. I mean, like, it's amazing to see it in film. It's more amazing to see it in a gym. I know they just have, you know, wooden swords and that kind of thing, but they go through each, you know, choreography, and but they, you know, they don't stop and go, this is how we did this scene, but you can recognize them, you know, it's amazing. But holy shit, that dude can run up walls. Like, actually, you know, you think half of that is wiring. No, you should see some of the jumps he does in the gym. It's unreal. Smash, you know, like there's one scene where he jumps out a window and he smashes a dude's head off the windowsill or something. Yeah. You see him doing that with a vaulting horse with a dude in the gym. Like, it's nuts. No, absolutely nuts. The height and the speed.
You must link me up with that. I will.
I read that the actors did their own stunts for this, which kind of amazed me because it looks really fucking dangerous.
It does. There's a lot of dodgy stuff. Yeah. So there's one other thing I want to mention. There's one scene where he's chasing a guy. Mm-hmm. And then instead of awkwardly running around the corner, he did this like sliding tackle thing.
Yeah.
And then started running again. Like, he was going around corners like Pac-Man. Basically, yeah. I thought that is so cool. Yeah. And in my head, I was trying to calculate velocity to say, well, is that faster? Would that be faster?
Yeah.
My head had worked out it probably fucking isn't. Like, but it's so cool looking.
It's
so
cool. It's only a matter of time before you have too much to drink some Friday night and you try that on your way home.
Can you imagine?
Well, it's imagine like sliding carnage across the bonnet of a car. You know, it's not really that faster, and you leave a nice fucking key mark as well from the, you know, little rivet on your jeans. You know, just.
So that was the bit I liked. The things that I didn't like. Now, I have to caveat how I watched this. I watched it dubbed. I watched a dubbed English audio
version. Oh, no, really?
Oh, disaster.
I don't like subtitles, and that option was there.
Okay. All right. You know, so, I actually thought that you might, yeah.
So look, I was able to look at their faces when they're acting while you fuckers were reading what was underneath the screen, right? So the dialogue, at least, that I had, which may not be true to what was there, wasn't great, right? The performance of the characters I thought was okay, but then the protagonist was so understated that it seemed to leave a lot on the table from the story, right? Like, when I give out to my son, right, the 4-year-old, and tell him that he can't do something or can't have something or whatever. Sometimes to try and make me feel bad, he turns around and walks away very, very slowly. So I can see how sad he is. That's the same acting technique used in this movie.
Yeah.
So when he's hurt or emotionally devastated, he walks slowly. And I feel like there's more you can do there.
Yeah.
So I wasn't gone on that guy. I didn't think the supporting cast were that bad, but again, emotionally, it never really grabbed me. And maybe that's because I watched it dubbed, right? Maybe. I don't know. But I didn't find the story very engaging. I thought it was very close to a bad version of Wolverine, the origin story. So it just wasn't for me. I don't want to go on any more about it because there was lots of things I liked, like I mentioned the combat. So what did you guys think?
Do you want to go, Mike?
Yeah, this was right up my street, you know, ever since... I don't know if you remember Shogun.
Oh, yeah.
TV series back in the 80s.
Yep.
Ever since then, I fucking loved this whole samurai thing, you know.
It's a period piece.
Yes. And I thought it was really well done. Yeah. You know, it looked, everything looked authentic. Nothing looked out of place.
The arrangements, the way they arrange and folded things and the way they bend down to pick up something and then they lift it up and you think, oh, they're going, you know, down to the other end of the house, but then they turn around, they bend down again just to put it there.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, 2 feet to the left, you know, it's just so, so formal and regimented, the movements and the culture, you know, that's why I found that fascinating, actually. I thought it was really well done.
And, you know, not a sign of anybody wearing sunglasses or wristwatches or anything like that in the background. I would take issue with Mark on the acting. I didn't think it was that bad. And maybe it is down to the dubbing, but I thought there was a bit more emotion in it than Mark got out of it.
And I'm on the other side of I actually think there's nearly too much.
Okay. Right.
You thought walking slowly was too effective at communicating sadness.
No.
Well, with the original voices,
with his hair in front of his face, I should have mentioned.
The original voices are carrying the emotion, I think, more than a dubbed voice ever could.
Mm. But remember, I mentioned this before on an Asian movie we watched recently, or maybe it was just me that watched it. And I was saying, you know, they tend to dwell on nostalgia or on tragedy, on heartbreak, on heartstrings being pulled quite a lot. And this is really a tragic romance movie. You know, when you boil it down, you know, with action in it, you know. So,
it reminded me, in places of, do you remember that meme that went around, lick this if it make you cry?
So, I thought he was really good. I thought that he played a cartoon or a comic book character very, very well. You know, you can see that it's
how do you
lifted.
Mean?
It's lifted straight out of anime. You know, the graphic novels and so on. But the way he's portrayed, even the, like, never mind his style and his dress. And like you were saying, looking out from under his hair, you know, all that kind of broody. Like, it's extra, extra broody.
He was broody, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, he's almost like, you know, initially I was like, is he on the spectrum of some sort, or, you know, I wasn't sure, you know, but then I realized that it was actually it's his whole training and background that, you know, that has made this him into a cold-blooded killer and blah blah blah, you know, because there were aspects where I was sort of going, okay, dude, you know, someone give him a nudge there so he get a reaction out of him, or, you know, a little bit I don't know, slow on the expression of anything. Really, you know.
Yeah. Well, there's something there actually to pull on. Now, I want to try and talk about this without spoiling anything for anyone who watches the film, right? But there was a point in kind of the end of the first act, if we split this into three, right, where he is affected by murdering someone, kind of unexpectedly, and it's then where we kind of go, "Oh, okay, hang on now. Maybe he's not just a killer, right?" And that seems to be the abiding question through a big chunk of the film. That didn't play very well to me, to be honest. I was watching it going, you've killed 99 people. Why is number 100 such a problem? Like, But because the person you're killing is sad, you're saying none of the other 99 wanted to stay alive. You know, it just didn't ring that true to me. Like,
I wonder, was it explained the same way it was in dubbing as the same way it was?
Yeah, maybe he's been sad every single time and getting sadder. Well, snowballing into a whole black hole of sadness in his heart.
But well, is that what happens, though? Is that what happens when like...
You when weren't you there, man.
Oh, that's true, I wasn't.
But did he not say that it was because he really wanted his life? He was fighting for his life, you know? That's what struck
me. Kind of my point, though, is that doesn't everyone? You're telling me that he killed 99 people and... none of them were down the ground injured and go on, let me off.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It was just, shut up, man. He'll just walk away. You'll be grand, you know. But then he has to come back.
You know what I mean?
He has to kill him about four times. Then.
So that was a fairly, I was actually having the same thought, but I still want to get too into what actually happened. I was just talking about that. This is a kind of an inflection point in the story, you know. Mm. I didn't fully believe it. Like, I accept that this is a thing that probably happened, right? You know, but I find it a bit, pulled me out a bit. But look, maybe I was just in the wrong headspace for this. I didn't find the setting that interesting, by the way.
Oh, well, you didn't? All right.
Like, all that bending down and standing up.
You were looking for more Starship Troopers kind of thing.
Well, I'm fine whether they bend down and stand up or not.
Mike likes a bit of that as well. Yeah,
but I don't want the point of a scene to be that they were bending down and standing up. You know what I mean? Like, and it's just, it was a bit light for me. I thought there was. I liked the way the plot blossomed in the final act. I thought that was really good. And then I got greater context than that then when I went to do my research after the fact. So I did like that. I have to say the story wasn't terrible. I was just making comments on the dubbed audio, at least. I didn't think the writing was fantastic. The story itself, I think, is decent. I would have liked to have seen that with a different director. Maybe the same director that did Wolverine, the origin story. And then we would have been way in a hack. Do you know why I keep mentioning Wolverine here? Are you looking at me blankly?
No
idea. Apart from the Japan bit.
And the titanium.
As you know, Wolverine was a samurai. No one knows how long Wolverine has been alive, including himself, since he was shot in the head. He doesn't remember a lot of his past. But we know that he had an era in feudal Japan. And I think I need to stop talking there because the parallels are quite strong and I would inadvertently spoil story books.
Okay, yeah.
But a very similar story unravels, except Hugh Jackman. You know when he's sad or annoyed.
the whole lack of emotion bit kind of added to the mystique, no doubt, of this character. There's actually a really good scene. There's kind of a bit of a Western thing going on as well. There's a parallel with Westerns, let's say, because it is a bit mad because the Shogun are trying to take over from the Emperor and blah, blah, blah. But it's when he's in a bar and where he first meets Tamoe. Is that her name?
Yep.
Tamoe. Yeah. So that scene there, brilliant. And the scene that followed that. I just thought it was a great sequence. Just the approach of it and the language of him being threatening without being threatening, you know. Yeah, I love that. It's just like, yeah, you guys, you know, you better feck off or, you know, you'll be dead in a sec, you know.
Do you remember the scene in The Unforgiven where two cowboys had Clint Eastwood's back but were afraid to shoot him because he was such a bad dude? That's a brilliant scene, right? While I do agree with you, he conveyed menace quite well. I don't think he was in that league. You know what I mean?
I know. No.
But that's just my opinion, right?
I like this movie. I didn't think I would like it as much as I did. I thought I was going to be into, you know, enjoy the start bit, then sort of go, oh God, in the middle, could have cut an hour out of that middle bit, and then, you know, to have a reasonably good finish. But I found I was glued to it all the way through.
I found it was long, though, as well.
It was long, but I was but once I got into it, then it was like, okay, I'm in for an epic here. If I stick with it, you know, and I think I'm going to go on and I'm going to watch the next one, at least the next one. There's five, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, three five. Before this and one after this. This is Mark, like an origin story.
Um, you might like this, Mike or Mark, but I've seen comments or heard comments online, or people are saying that this is their favorite movie franchise. It's up there with Lord of the Rings. It's up there with Star Wars.
But are these like it's hugely popular in Japanese? Are these
They weren't
people from
Japanese people,
Japan?
no. No. No.
Okay.
But obviously they have a great love of Asian movies, you know, if they're talking about it. So, but anyway,
Yeah, and I'm not saying that you can't like this if you're not Japanese or Asian. I'm just wondering,
no, you're wondering, or do they have
did
a
it travel? Did it because it didn't travel to me, like, you know. And it's certainly no Lord of the Rings. Christ above, they should wash their mouths out with soap.
Well, I think their point was that it has the action. It has lots of action, and it's brilliant action. It has the quality. The money is there. You can see it's, you know, it's very well presented and filmed, and sound is great, and blah blah blah. It has the actors, and it has the romance. It has another story apart from just action, you know. So
And
there,
there's a
if
kind
you
of an epic
want,
story arc that's bigger than the characters.
there's the whole story, yeah. That's all around them, yeah. So it's massive.
But imagine if he walked faster when he was sad and it was half an hour shorter. How much better it would be. So I wouldn't recommend this to anyone. This is an avoid movie for me. Unless you're interested in amazing sword combat.
It is pretty
I would
amazing, actually,
nearly,
if you're
I, like,
interested.
I'm kind of glad I watched it for that. But I probably could have got that on YouTube without all of the slow walking.
I must send you that link. We might post it on
Yeah, I'll throw it in the show
thing
notes
there.
if, if,
On the
if
show
we can
notes,
find it. Yeah,
yeah.
sounds good. Okay, so
The
we've.
only regret I had in that movie was that there was no Shiba Inu character with a fax machine. That would have just next leveled the
No, you know what this movie
fucking
needed? Tom Cruise as the Last Samurai.
link.
And I heard you talking about how you're interested in samurai movies since Shogun. I was interested in them since Tom Cruise did one.
It's like a 25-year difference, I think.
Isn't Japan made up of a load of islands? Isn't it all like
Yes.
small islands chained
Yes.
together? Speaking of islands, what about this amazing new TV show called F-Boy Island? Who wants to tell me what that's about?
Segue in the history of bad
Well,
I'm here all week, folks. I'm here
I
all
haven't
week.
watched it, but I think I'm in a good position to explain it because I've watched the trailer.
Go for
And
it.
so people who like Love Island are put on an island, and they've got a bunch of dudes. Is it 24 of them?
Yep,
12,
24.
24, yeah. And amongst the 24, there's, I think it's half of them are nice guys, and half of them are F boys. F boys who like their guns, and they just like spreading the seed. That's their aim, really. And
How many girls are there? Is there 24
there's
girls?
three girls.
Three.
Oh.
Three girls, and they have to figure out which are the F boy or which are the nice guys. Now, it's what I thought was quite funny is that they took the three girls and they presume that they're trying to find the nice guys. I don't think so. If you see the three there, I'm not going to say disparage any of them, but I'll say out of the three of them, there's bound to be one. There's no interest in. In fact, I'd say all three of them have no interest in nice guys, because they just wouldn't
That
fit
is
the
the premise.
demographic. Yeah,
That is the premise. You've
yeah.
nailed it. Thank you for that. So, Mike, did you see this? You did.
I did indeed, sir.
And what did you think?
I was very excited to see that it was on the list. But then when I saw it opening, I was very, very disappointed when I realized it was going to be a complete fucking sausage fest. It was like
You've got a point there, Mike.
complete gender imbalance. I was like, this is not why I watch these shows. However, I gave it a chance, and it was I did kind of like the way they put it together. The whole concept of spot the fucker is so ripe for abuse, and I did enjoy the way you know people were taking their chances to you know get one over on each other and basically be a dickhead. So it's more of a psychological thing than just eye candy, you know.
Yeah, more than one over. What?
What?
Yeah. So it's like as you mentioned in your synopsis there, it is quite derivative from Love Island itself, but obviously it's different because it's the ratios is different, and the whole idea of trying to pick out who are the nice guys and who are the F boys by and large, you could have picked seven or eight of the nice guys out of the lineup with no conversation whatsoever.
Yeah, well, those tattoos were a dead giveaway, you know. Mr. No, Nice.
Not even the tattoos. It's like the guys that look like they're kind of preppy, might do a bit of field sports, like, you know, run track.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not F-boys. And then you have these guys that look like American footballers. Oh, yeah, they're the guys.
His name is Chad, is it? Chad and Todd.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, what I want to know is Nikki Glaser. Did you see much of her in it? Because I'm a big fan.
She's very good.
She's great. She's hilarious. If you haven't seen her stuff, she's really hilarious.
You guys mentioned her last week when I was talking about this show. I didn't know who she was. I did a bit of research in between times, and I haven't watched her stuff, but I would, because she was really good in this.
Yeah, no, she's funny. She's like genuinely just a funny person, not written for her funny. You know that kind of way.
Yeah, because the stuff she was doing off the cuff was really, really good, and she was also well able for the boys. Like,
Which
is important. It's like in Love Island Australia, they have a presenter there. You know, there's someone goes in every so often for crucial events in the game.
Yeah.
Well, the Australian girl is completely intimidated by her job, and she goes in and she's like struggling not to be noticed too much, and really apologetic. I'm really sorry about this, guys. Here I am. So sorry. And she's shit. Like, Irish girl they have on the UK Love Island isn't like that. She's quite good. And I think your own Nikki Glaser is even better in this role. She's really good, really good host. Yeah. Really
cool. Good. Good to hear.
So it's going on my list. I'm going to keep watching this.
Could this be done in reverse? Reverse the genders.
That was what I was thinking, yeah.
And what would you call it, Mike? No, could it though? Could it? I don't know. I don't know if it could.
Well, my whole problem with the concept itself is flawed. Like, there's 12 people who self-identify as nice guys. We all self-identify as nice guys.
Yeah.
But not all of us are.
So what kind of a shitbag do you have to be to actually not even believe you're nice yourself?
That's what I mean. Like, so I think that's kind of, like, they could wind up with, like, what happens if they wind up with a self-proclaimed nice guy? Who is... But winds up with a girl and then turns out he doesn't really like her, but he's too shy to say, so he strings her along for 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
Is he a nice guy? Do you know what I mean?
Too nice. He's too nice a guy.
At least there is boys have a clear agenda.
You know where you stand with them.
Yeah, I know. But like, there was one guy. I try not to tell things that happened in the show. I think it takes away from people watching it, but there was one guy. I'm going to tell this story anyway.
Great.
He goes up to one of the girls, right, and he was obviously just a little bit too shy to get her with assertiveness, right? So he goes up really close to her and goes, "Can I talk to you in private for a couple of minutes?" Like this, right? And it came across really creepy. It's like, it was just so bad. And then she goes, she goes, "That made me feel weird." Just kind of walks away from him and say, "Can you other guys just talk to me?" I think the man was left standing there and he had absolutely no idea what to do. So he just kept standing there. But that guy he also produced a couple of great reality TV moments later on that even Nikki Glaser struggled to take with a straight face.
Oh, really? Okay.
Brilliant. I really do recommend it. Even just that first episode, some stuff happened in that you could not beat. Like, it's just...
So if you've only got time to watch one, Mark, which would it be, F-Boy or Love Island?
I would probably... It's a very good question. I would probably say F-Boy Island.
Right.
I keep my voice low because people are watching it right behind me.
Follow-up question.
Island right now.
If you had to watch... one of two shows, would it be F-Boy Island or Ultimate Fighter?
Oh, the Ultimate Fighter.
All right, okay.
That's 100%.
We still have them, Mike. We still have them. We haven't lost them yet.
This season of the Ultimate Fighter is great. You can see there's a complete tangent there. Oh, I love this season. It was
brilliant. I haven't started yet. I'm saving that one.
You'll
up.
Enjoy it. And the fights are brilliant.
Excellent.
Anyway, let's not get distracted. So F-Boy Island.
No, it'd be much better if they had swords. That's all I'm saying.
You know who can use a sword? Wolverine. Speaking of swords, No, I got nothing. No, the Suicide nothing. Squad.
Yeah.
So the last movie on this list Javelin. Is just came out last Friday to a massive box office taken. It came out on the 6th of August, and that is The Suicide Squad, not to be confused by its prequel, Suicide Squad. So The Suicide Squad is the same formula as we had in the previous film. There are a bunch of superpowered villains in prison who are offered 10 years off their service if they'll do a little job for the US government. And so we have reappearing. We have Flag. What's it? Captain Flag. I can't think of what his first name is. But we have Harley Quinn is back. Idris Elba joins the cast as Bloodsport. John Cena joins as Peacemaker. And there's a couple of other fairly ridiculous superheroes thrown in, or supervillains, I should say.
Who's Ratcatcher 2?
Ratcatcher 2?
Yeah. Do you have it there in front of you?
I do, but they put Ratcatcher 2 right down the bottom of the list.
All right,
so
okay.
See who it is.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
You have to team me up for these
things.
Yeah,
sorry, man. Yeah.
Margot Robbie playing Harley Quinn, of course, and mm-hmm. Joel Kinnaman is a colonel. Rick Flag is who I was trying to think of. Uh-huh. So Joel was it's kind of like the main protagonist in the last movie. So that's kind of where it starts, and then they have to try and take out this island. Ah, oh, that was my segue. It was so obvious. So, Steve, tell us what you thought.
I went into this with arms folded, I can tell you, after seeing the last one, which was meant to be funny, but it was kind of crap. Mm. Well, they tried to make it serious, but it was kind of funny, stupid. But it was really bad. It was really bad. It wasn't a good watch at all. Mm-hmm. This one was hilarious. I really enjoyed this, and I couldn't believe it. And maybe it's because I went in with such low expectations that helped. But yeah, I laughed in this a lot. It's very graphic, but it's done so OTT that it's, you know, you just have to laugh at what goes on. It's kind of hard to talk to this. I don't really want to talk about the story, but it's your classic sort of what would you call it? Underdogs against something, you know, way powerful than them. You know, that kind of way.
Dirty,
you know,
Dirty Dozen. It's the Dirty
exactly,
Dozen.
Exactly. Yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah,
yeah. The cast are great, and I love the way they set you up at the start. I love that first act. Love.
Bait and switch.
Yeah, oh, it was brilliant. And there's another couple of very, very, very funny scenes in it where they kind of make mistakes and stuff and that kind of thing. And that it just turns into like a guffaw. Like, I really lolled at it. But I've heard since that a lot of people are very offended by it, which is hilarious. I'll talk to you about this later because it's just ridiculous. I don't want to spoil anything, but yeah, I really enjoyed this. I didn't expect it. The characters are great. The actors are great. It looked like a live action comic book. It really did. Really did. When you think of some of the characters, like the Tinker, for example, or even is a Shark Boy or whatever his name is.
Shark Boy.
Sylvester Stallone's character.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just crazy. Yeah, and they worked very well. I loved the wee bit after the credits. Did you wait for it?
There was two bits. There was one right after the credit dropped. And then there was another one at the very end.
Yeah. Damn it.
Melchior is
thank
our
you.
Catcher too.
Thank you. Yeah. I thought she was quite cool. And I loved that she had a little, you know, it was kind of such a strange power to have, which is, you know, being able to communicate with rats and get them to do your whatever, you know, that kind of thing. But then with the whole backstory then, it gets quite deep, you know.
That was good, actually. That took me by surprise.
Yeah, me too. I was sort of like, whoa.
I can see Mike itching to get in here, though. I feel like we should unleash him.
Release the hounds.
Yeah, tell us, Mike.
What did you think, Mike?
Unlike probably the rest of the planet, I did enjoy the 2016 one. So I had two problems going into this movie. One was the name. What's the stupidest fucking name in the planet? Just give it a different name. Duh.
Shut up.
Whoever signed off on that decision needs to be dragged out and fucking samurai chopped.
Yeah.
I mean, you could even call it fucking the Suicide Squad part two, you know, for
I do agree.
All of it matter, you know?
Yeah.
Second thing is they kind of desexualized Margot Robbie. You know, it was quite over the top in the first one with the hot pants and all that kind of thing. Whereas I think they rolled that back a bit this time, which is fine, but they also...
Sounds like you think it isn't.
Yeah, it sounds like you were not quite as excited as they expected to be, Mike.
And, you know, on top of that, they kind of waste the character a bit. She's not really as big as she should be in terms of both billing and potential in terms of the story.
I'd agree with that.
They missed an open goal there.
Yeah.
Barely in it.
Although she did have quite a large piece in the middle.
Yeah.
Let's say, which I thought was brilliant and completely caught me blindsided as well. I actually jumped on my seat.
So I don't know what they were thinking in terms of those decisions. I think the movie is the lesser for it. On the positive side, I really like John Cena.
John Cena's great, in fairness.
His Patriot character is just freaking excellent. I could see that rubbing up a lot of people up the wrong way. In terms of gratuitous violence, is it the worst?
There was some really, really fucking bad ones.
I had his face blown off within 60 seconds of the movie starting. Like, literally, his face caved in itself. I think now is probably the right time for you to give me my opinion on it, right?
Yeah,
I hated this film. Hated it so much. I loved the first Suicide Squad. I really enjoyed it, mainly because of Will Smith, his interactions with Flag and Harley Quinn.
Wow. And
Harley Quinn was nowhere to be seen in this. Mm-hmm. And now Idris Elba is one of my favorite actors since he was Stringer Bell. So I've watched nearly everything he's been in. Right. Yeah. And I love him in everything. And he was good in this too. Mm. I thought that his little back and forth with John Cena was good, but it got silly a bit a few times. It got so silly. It's kind of going, all right, guys, come on. You're starting to sound like the boys on, what's that car show?
Top Gear.
It's starting to sound like Top Gear now.
Yeah.
And I thought the story, superhero movies.
It doesn't make sense. It's a fucking superhero movie.
This is the thing. Superhero movies and TV are good when they make them real people in real settings, but they have powers.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's when it's good. Now, that's not what the last movie was necessarily, mm-hmm. but it was closer than this one. This one was completely fantastic. And I don't mind, like, there was a couple of them, and I don't want to spoil it, but there's a couple of them with kind of ridiculous powers. Mm. I don't mind that. I have no problem with that. They can be as ridiculous as you want, but they need to be real. And I thought they did a great job with Ratcatcher 2, like you mentioned, Steve. Yeah. Her origin story was really good. It was quite deep.
It was, yeah.
And it took me by surprise. And I was kind of going, okay, great. Mm. But there was no trace of that anywhere else, you know. Mm. And to me, it seems like, you know, you've had a relatively successful first film. You're doing another one. Mm. So you go, okay, which things do we lean into here and which things do we lean away from? And I think they got that wrong. Mm. And we talked last week about how we make up our own minds, but after I'd made up my own mind, I looked at what the internet was saying. The internet fucking hates this movie.
There's an awful lot of hate out there.
But to be honest, I agreed with some of it. You know, like I have my own reasons, but which I'm trying to share with you now. They definitely should have used Harley Quinn more, particularly the way the world is now. Like, having a strong female character who's just out of an abusive relationship, Jesus Christ, they'd lap that up.
Yeah.
They just, no mention of it. I don't like Amanda Waller, played by Viola Davis. I don't like Viola Davis in general. Mm. I find her very, very severe, so unlikable. I know that's who she's supposed to be,
I
but
know, yeah.
It's a coldness that hits me as a lack of charisma, and it's just tough to watch when she's on screen. Although I think the supporting cast she had around her in the government agency were very good. Mm-hmm. They were all fun to watch.
Well, she's so like, yeah, actually, I think I liked her in that first series that we watched.
Yeah, she was in both. Yeah, she was in both.
Yeah.
So look, to wind up what I have to say, and you can get back in your services. It didn't drag, right? Mm. There's so much action, and there is a lot of witty banter and stuff that it flew, right? Didn't look at my watch once, but a lot of times in my head I was going, "Ah, oh, come on, is this what we're doing? This is why we're here," you know?
Yeah.
And I felt that I just feel like they leaned into the wrong things for me anyway, and I'm not everyone, although most people on the internet agree with me.
Well, if they're not hitting the mark with you as the target audience, that's a bad sign.
Yeah, you are the Superman guy. Up,
yeah. I mean, you're kind of the low bar they're trying to get over in terms of.
Very true. Very true. Guilty as charged.
I suppose in more general terms, the movie bombed at the box office, and there's a lot of discussion on that. The number one target seems to be the simultaneous release on streaming. Yeah, I think that's generally a bad idea.
It is. Streaming just leads to piracy. Yeah.
But Scarlett Johansson is suing Disney for doing that.
She is, yeah, I saw that.
And there's somebody else thinking about joining.
But rightfully so. They signed one thing in her contract, allegedly, and now she's getting less profit because they changed the release to 50-50.
That's right. She didn't get a cut of the streaming, did she?
Exactly that. Well, she was losing out in 20% or something. Yeah.
That's her. I'm like, it's so like you to take her side. But aren't Disney saying that that's their right to decide how to put it out? She's entitled to a cut of the box office, which she received.
Yeah,
but it'll be
a fucking dick move competing against.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and, it is a dick move.
That's why she's taking them to task there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So
maybe you know, if you're a heartless absolute asshole, yeah. I mean, you could do that. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm on Disney's side.
I'm just saying
that's their argument.
F-boy.
Yeah.
Look, I hope that the simultaneous releases continue and actors are suitably compensated for the pretending that they do. Mm-hmm. I think that's. I don't think Disney should be allowed to get away with reducing the profits made on the box office and then just not paying her what she's owed.
Yeah.
But I hope this doesn't turn into not being able to simultaneously release things, because I quite like the option of watching it in my home.
Yeah. I'd say actors or their agents will have this covered from.
Yeah, see, this is the slow death of cinema, Mark. Mm-hmm. You know, the big advantage that cinema has as a medium is that it gets shit first. If you take that away and you start working on humans' basest instincts, which is to stay at home on their fucking couch and not bother to go out and see it on the 50-foot as God intended it to be seen.
I still do that, though. I've been to the cinema a few times, you know.
Yes, but I think we can see clearly from the figures that a lot of people can't be arsed. And the more people who can't be arsed, the more cinemas are going to close.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm. And then where will we be?
We'll be buying big rigs at home.
Yeah. 70 Asian screens.
Yeah.
I think, could they not have waited a fucking week, you know?
Yeah. It's true.
Or as a famous lad once said, could you not wait with me 1 hour?
Yeah. Because if you look back at Box Office Mojo, it doesn't take that long for the box office to taper off where it would make sense. But then if people know that it's coming in 3 weeks' time, you know, so you're probably up against it either way. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens in this space. I definitely don't want cinemas to go away. But yeah, anyway, The Suicide Squad, I think it's terrible. I don't think anyone should watch this. But if you have a choice between watching this and that bloody samurai movie we watched, watch The Suicide Squad. Far better off. And then go on YouTube to see the sword fighting for the samurai bit.
Oh, harsh words indeed.
So do you want to give it scores? We haven't really scored things tonight, but it'd be interesting to see where take your temperature on this.
I think it was a 7 for me.
Yeah, I think 7's probably fair enough.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's as great as the Rotten Tomatometer score of 96 or whatever is.
No.
I think that's over-egging the pudding. But
no, but that score, that's not weighted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That 96 means that 96% of the people who were asked to review it gave a positive review.
True.
It doesn't mean
yeah.
that they gave it that they gave 96%.
They're not all 10 out
it's
of
not
10.
An average. Yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah. No, I thought it had enough to be a worthwhile show. I'm not with the general hate, but yeah, obviously I'm in a severe minority compared to the internet. So
well, it's a 5 out of 10 for me. Like.
Yeah.
Is it 5? All right.
5 okay. out of 10, yeah.
Yeah.
So
okay.
you thought it was good enough to be average, even though you hated
yeah.
it.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. But like, I did say that it flew. The time I was watching it just flew by, you know. So it obviously has something to recommend it. I also talked about a couple of good moments, you know,
mm-hmm.
within that. So it's not
so,
the worst.
Almost like you gave it a fair review.
Yeah. So I was going to say, so you used to read these when you were a kid, right?
Not really DC stuff. I read Marvel. I still read Marvel.
Okay.
I have read some DC, but not as much.
But you would know who these people are and the backgrounds.
No.
And no, okay. I was wondering, is that it was that what's leading to disappointment? Nearly, you know.
No, I knew from the poster that I didn't know who any of them were.
Yeah,
and which led to some confusion when the movie opened. But we'll leave that for people to discover for themselves. But so no, I didn't have expectations of what they're going to be like.
Yeah.
So I don't think that was it. I think I just, it didn't take itself serious enough for me. I think it decided that it was a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
They decided that people liked the first film because it was funny. So they thought, let's be funny, right?
Yeah.
Forget about having a strong female protagonist. We don't need that. Let's lean into the guy banter because they helped Will Smith in the last film.
Yeah.
And I think
yeah.
they just made decisions like that just weren't the right direction. And look, that's what you have to do. You have to take a swing. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Actually, John Cena was hilarious.
He was, but he was still just John Cena, though.
Yeah. Well, that's what John Cena does best.
He was hilarious.
Yeah, he's another one of these Arnie's.
It's just like there's one line in it. What are you doing in your wife? It was such a classic moment.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
Died off brilliant. Like that. Just so oblivious.
So I think we had quite a mixed opinion then of the Suicide Squad. It seems.
Yeah.
I think you'd probably both recommend people to watch it, would you?
I think so. Anyone who likes Deadpool, for example, you know, would like this. You know, this is more like Deadpool than say Joker. You know.
No, yeah, Joker's completely different.
Yeah,
be different to this.
Not as many belly laughs in Joker. Yeah.
No. So he had a few laughs, all right. But
but I wonder though. I wonder if in a few years' time we'll be able to look back at this movie and maybe they'll tweak a couple of things and then put out an animated TV show about what would happen if some things were slightly different. I think that might happen because they're doing that in Marvel and we're going to be talking about it next week.
No way.
So next week we'll be talking about What If, which is a new TV show in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, dropping on Disney Plus on the 11th of August on a Wednesday again, following up from Loki. And I think the first one, they tackle what if Agent Carter had gotten the super soldier serum instead of the Captain America we all know and love, Steve Rogers.
Awesome.
Cool.
So that's the first episode.
Oh, who's playing Miss Carter?
It's a cartoon. I don't know who draws her.
Oh,
just asking for a friend.
Just asking for a friend.
Okay, so we've all got that to look forward to in our next episode. So from Mike, Mark, and Steve, stay classy.